Welcome to the Harwood Hustle, powered by PGC Basketball. We believe in the value of a coach. We're here to educate, empower, and encourage you to lead like never before. This week, TJ and Sam discuss what's overrated and underrated in coaching. They cover off spending time on strategies and tactics, as well as the intangibles. With limited time, this episode will help you find your biggest return on investment next season. Before we start, a quick word from Manawatsa.
Coach, would you like to have a team full of great shooters next season? We've partnered with our friends at NOAA to bring to you the Hoops app, a free app to help your players measure the trajectory and arc of their shot. They'll get immediate feedback after every make or miss so that they can course correct and become a better shooter faster. Have your players download the Hoops app at thehoopsapp.com/PGC today so that you can have a team full of better shooters next season.
Coaches, welcome to the Harwood Hustle. Me and Sam are going to talk about what's overrated and what's underrated in coaching. I think this would be a really interesting topic because, man, a lot of times when I'm watching coaches, I think they put too high of an emphasis on certain things and not enough emphasis on other things. And look, this varies from coach to coach. There's no wrong answer or right answer. In fact, I'd be really interested to hear what our coaches listening think. What are some things that are overrated and underrated? And to be honest with you, I think there's some things that can fall into both categories. And I think it also varies style by style, how you play, what you're good at teaching. But in general, what are some things that are overrated and some things that are underrated? And we're going to dive into a multitude of things that we think will help you as a coach. Like maybe you're putting too much time here, not enough time here. Sam, why don't you kick us off with something that you think is overrated or underrated?
Yeah, I think underrated, TJ, is from a coach's perspective, their ability and their focus to get their team connected and to have great chemistry and to be aware of that and what that does for a team, what that does for individuals. So I'll summarize by just saying connectedness / chemistry. I think that's undervalued, underappreciated.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that. I totally agree with you. Like, if you've ever coached a team that like just was playing really good basketball, and listen, I don't know if this always equates to winning, but a lot of times winning comes along with it. But a team that is connected, like, you know, you feel like whether it's on the offensive end, they make the extra pass, or on the defensive end, when they make a mistake, there's somebody to clean it up for them. And you can see it in their chemistry. Like, there's a vibe about a team. I mean, for instance, like right now we're on like a 8 or 9 game winning streak. And if I was to kind of point to something that's going well right now, we're connected. You know what I mean? Like we're trying to cover up other people's mistakes. We are trying to make the extra pass. We are, you know, those type of things, as well as just like as our spirit is connected, like players are for each other. And that makes a really big difference, because early in the year when I was breaking film down, there was a lot of times when I would just watch and it was like, it's not like we're totally off, but we're off. Like that player helping is a step late. You know, like we got a pretty good shot, but we didn't get a great shot, you know. And now what's different right now is that player is one step over, and that what used to be a drive down the middle, you know, is now getting help from the perimeter. Or if they get beat, there's somebody stepping up to make them make one more read. Or, you know, before when we had a good shot, we're now like shot faking and making one extra or putting it on the ground and getting a great shot. And I really do think that has a lot to do with being connected. I mean, connected to the message you're sending as a coach, connected on the offensive end, connected on the defensive end, and connected with your chemistry. I think that's a really, really big one. You know, and I know there's some coaches probably feel that sometimes that's overrated. And, you know, I think that if you think it's overrated, you've probably never been in that situation where you feel like a team's just humming and they're achieving more than they're capable of achieving. And I think to be in that realm of achieving more than you're capable of achieving, you really have to have a connected team.
Yeah, and I would say also, I think it does take time, because as the season goes on, you start to have roles. People fill into certain roles and identities on the team. And so that just takes time to work through, because there's a process of players accepting their role, or at first being resistant to a role, and then over time, the coach and the team kind of getting them to buy into that. And that there's no fast track way there. maybe sometimes you have a team, TJ, where, you know, you have some returners and maybe you have a crop of freshmen or new kids. If you're coaching high school, maybe some sophomores or juniors that are playing varsity for the first time. And so they know coming in, their expectations are lower. But most of the time, it's going to take some just real work. It's the crock pot, not the microwave. And it takes time to just get roles to settle in, conversations to happen, games to be played, adversity, all those things. And this is the time of year, you know, as you go on the home stretch where, you know, you really got to have that connectedness.
Yeah, you know, I was my second one for underrated. It would have been role identification. You know, I think that when we've had teams that are, you know, playing up to their potential or beyond their potential, like role identification is a non-negotiable there. And sometimes, look, I've been not good at that, like not knowing what role to put people in. Like sometimes they got to play some games. Sometimes you got to go through some battles. Sometimes you get to figure out like what is the sweet spot for every single player on your team. But I think it's true in most things in life, like in business and in sports and in general, when people accept their role, star in their role, and everybody understands this is what's best for the team, and that role ID is hammered down, you got a real good chance at achieving as much as you're capable of achieving.
Yeah, and let me ask you a question on role identification. So when you're looking at your team and you're going to talk to your seventh player, I should say, and you're unpacking their role, how are you, and again, selling may not be the right way of saying it, that sounds dirty, but you are selling that player on it. Like, what are you, when they're only going to play 8 minutes, how are you giving it to that player?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's so much that goes into role identification. I think we throw it out there and we say role identification is important and it's super important, but actually getting to a place of really good a role identification, I think is very, very hard. Because when it comes down to it, one, you have to have a clear vision as a coach on what everybody's role should be. And that's not the easiest thing to get. And I think that can change with injuries, with players getting better, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that go into the role identification, just clarity as a coach. Once you have clarity, you've got to get them to believe that you have the right answer, the right vision, right? And that's not easy to get them to believe in that. Then you got to get them to accept it, because oftentimes it's not the role that they want. And so that's not easy to get them to accept it. And then, you know, I think the key in all of that is communication, just like it is in a lot of things that we do in life. I think communication is super important. So when you're talking to a seventh man, you know, sometimes we can come from just like a place of hardness, you know, take it or leave it. This is your role, you know, and not a lot of players are going to love that explanation of just take it or leave it. I think one thing that's really important in role identification is for every player to believe that their role is important. So selling to that seventh man that might play 8 to 10 minutes you're talking about, or eighth man or whatever it might be, eighth girl, like just, hey, what you do, I know it's not the role you want, but it is really important for our team. I even believe you should go as far as asking them whether they accept that role or not. You know, are you willing to play this role? And they might even have an answer like, it's not the role I want, but if that's what I'm getting, like I'll do it and I'll do it to the best of my ability. And sometimes that's a good enough answer, because I think it's okay if a player doesn't love their role, they want more. I think players should be hungry, should desire more, but you do have to come to a common agreement and a belief that this is the role and I'm going to fill it to the best of my ability.
And I would say most of the time, this is a blanket statement, but most of the time I'd say coaches just don't ever have the conversation. And so players are left in this place of uncertainty. They don't really know their role, or it's kind of like an unspoken, I think this is what it is, and we just play pretend, like we're just pretending like everybody knows and we're good. And the reality is you're going to have a tough conversation. And it's not a one-time conversation. Like, to you, I think what you're saying is coach pulls player in the office. Coach tells player, here's your role. Here's what your role is. Here's why it is. All right, fist bump. We good? Yeah, we're good. No, we're not good. Like, the player's not good. You got affirmation because you forced it. But I do think I like what you said, which is like, have you asked the player, do they accept the role? And then really listen and be ready for them to say, no, actually, I disagree with it, and be okay that it may be, they may not like it. But it's not that, again, I'm building on you, but it's not that you don't like it as much as like, it's okay not to like it, but then we also need you to accept it for the betterment of the team.
Yeah. Hey, let's move to one that I think may be a little bit of a hot take here. I don't think coaches are going to love this one, but overrated systems and strategies, your offense and your defense. I think oftentimes they're overrated. I think coaches fall in love with these. I think coaches spend their most of their time on these, thinking about, is this the right offense? Is this the right defense? I just think that that's where the majority of basketball minds go. And there's so many times, like, I've just bounced this question around, like, is it that important what you do on offense and what you do on defense? I mean, like, just step back from it for just a second. And how many different styles of offense have we seen be successful? How many different styles of defense have we seen be successful? You know, when I look over my career, like, we've won a lot of games with different offense, with different defense, with, you know, just different approaches to how we were going to attack the game. And if you were to really, really dive even deeper into it, let's just say that you have a really scrappy team that plays hard. They play great, great man-to-man defense. If you took that same scrappy defense that played hard and they were, and you put them into some sort of full court pressure, or you put them into some kind of zone and they played with the same level of energy and passion, they were just like, would it be that much worse? Like, would that be the deciding factor? And I oftentimes land in the place of, no, it wouldn't. You know, like, I'm not sure that it would be. Now, there are some places I actually think X's and O's are underrated. You know, like, actually finding what fits your team the best. Like, I think there's a lot of coaches out there that they've run flex their entire life, and or they've run what motion their entire life, or whatever. It doesn't even matter what offense. And they're going to do that no matter what their personnel is. They're going to do that no matter, like, if it fits their team or doesn't fit their team. And I think that's a cardinal mistake. Like, I think there are certain times when you just have to realize, look, we full court press, but this team can't do it. You know what I mean? Like, this team's just not good at it. And I think that's where it is underrated, is when coaches don't have their team in some semblance of something that can be successful, and they're just going to die on that hill because that's what they've always done. But I think it can also be overrated on the other end of it, like I just explained, is where, you know, we're gonna do this, and this is what we have always done. And, you know, there's this only one way to win. Like, I don't think that's true. I've just seen too many teams win too many different styles of basketball.
I agree. I agree, and I'll offer a slight pushback, even though you kind of covered it, which is, in terms of where coaches put their energy, no doubt they think the offense and the defense are where their solutions lie. And you're watching your team, or you're watching their practice, and you see all sorts of, going back to, like, chemistry issues and ego issues and selfishness. And it's like, until you fix that, it doesn't matter what offense you run. And so I agree with you. I think in terms of where energy goes and where coaches put their time, they put so much time in X's and O's when they would be benefited by putting more time elsewhere. Now, like you said, I think you alluded to, is like, you might be running the wrong system and your players are going to fail over and over again. And therefore, you're going to have another host of issues because you're not going to win. People are going to be upset. People aren't going to be thriving in their role. People aren't going to be having success because you got the wrong, you know, X's and O's strategy. That happened for me earlier this year. I was trying to be full court pressing team, and we didn't have the personnel to do it. So I had to switch out of it about three games in, and we became a half court, more methodical, more deliberate team. And that was what was going to allow us to win. And I think that was going to give us more chemistry too.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I think what you run on offense and defense matters. I do think it's important. I don't think it's not important. I just think that there's so many times when we overestimate that, and there are ways to help your team other than a particular offense or a particular defense. And there's also no, you know, the ability to punt and say, this isn't for us. I think is really, really important, because let's just go to offense for a second. You know, what's the most important thing on offense? And I would argue that it's like shot generation and shot selection. Like, can you generate good shots for your team, and can they choose good shots? And you run something like, I don't know, dribble drive, and you had a ton of success 3 years ago with it. You fell in love with it. You saw your team win with it. You were good. The next year, 2 years later, you come down the road and your team's completely different. And like, how are you going to generate shots in the dribble drive? Well, I mean, you're banking on getting in the paint based on your spacing, which isn't a bad philosophy, not a bad idea. You're basic, but all of a sudden you can't get it in the paint. You don't have players that can break people down. Maybe you have four shooters, but you don't have anybody that can get the ball in the paint, even off of a bad closeout. Like, you're just not really good at getting it there. And so your shot generation is going to go way down. And in that particular scenario, you might have to find another way to generate shots. There might be more screens involved. There might be more post touches involved. There might be, you know, instead of just throwing it to a post player because you've always thrown it to a post player, maybe you need to post your guards because you still need the ball to go inside. Those type of adjustments, I think, are actually underrated in figuring out like what parts of your offense aren't actually generating the shots that you're hoping to be able to get and take. And if they're not generating good shots and you're just going to die on that hill, don't expect anything to change, unless you're willing to change how you go about generating shots.
I agree completely. Let's go to another. What's another you think overrated? You just mentioned X's and O's or system and strategy. What is another overrated one for you?
You know, this one's tricky, but like, I think can be, so I'm not putting it like all the time, but can be is like the scouting report. And I think this actually can be overrated, underrated. Like, I feel like scouting reports help me as a coach to be able to know, like, where can we gain edges and where are they going to try and attack us? And, you know, all those types of things that go into a scouting report. I think they can be overrated sometimes in the amount of information you give players. Like, I think they can be one of those things where coaches really like to cover their tail. And so they want to tell them everything the other team's going to do. They put it all up on the board. They do all the things. When I think they would be better served just making their team better, you know, because your team has a ceiling and you're trying to raise that ceiling throughout the year on what they're capable of achieving, what they're capable of doing, whether that's being more connected, whether that's more player development, whether that's honing X's and O's, you know, like all those, you're trying to make a team. And a lot of times we can devote an undue amount of time into scouting reports and oftentimes give a overwhelming amount of information to the player, because when they get that backdoor play, I told you so, and it covers us. But and that's where I think scouting reports can be overrated, is when you have a trouble disseminating what is the proper amount of information that will help them, versus we just spent an inordinate amount of time trying to give them all this information that they can't retain.
Yeah, I agree with that one too. We've talked about that before. You know, the 15-page scouting report, you'd be better off just giving them a one page. It's less about what you know as a coach. It's more about what your players can handle. And I don't know, when it comes to scouting report, TJ, I just think about what is the main thing the other team's trying to do on offense? What's the main thing they're trying to do on defense? And like on a very macro big picture level, like, are we aware of that and can we attack it and take it away? And then do they have a player or two that we got to focus on? I mean, that to me is like the genesis or the main thing with a scouting report. But I agree. I think it could be overrated. But at the same time, you know, let me say one more thing on that. I think sometimes this happens. If you go into like, there's games you have upcoming on your schedule that you're going to, you could not even give your players a scouting report and you're going to win the game. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Like, in that sense, that's where, like, being honest with your team, what do we need to get better at today? Like, that's what we need to work on. And I think sometimes too much focus is put on the other team. And you hear Nick Saban talk a lot about, and everybody's going to say, well, he has better players. You're right. But I wouldn't use that example. When you have the better team, you do need to focus on you. And so that's where it's overrated. And what's underrated is focusing on your team and what they need to get better at.
Yeah, you know, I think a good way to think about it would be in terms of this is rather than covering off 40 different things, what are the three biggest adjustments you're going to make in this next game based on the team you're playing in the scouting report? Can you boil it down to like, team, we need to do these three things better. Now let's go work on them. And that could be taking their best player out of the game. That could be that, you know, spacing the floor a different way. It could be anything. It could be a multitude of things. But if you could just narrow things down, I think this works in a lot of your teachings as a coach. It's like, let's just come down to one, two, or three things. I think when we start getting four or five beyond, I love the number three because I think it's kind of a max of things that you can really focus in, hone in on, and get better at. Because if you covered off 15 things you need to do against this team, but you practice none of them, are they really even going to be effective? So I like to think about scouting reports as like, what are the three most important things we learned from this scouting report? And I'll often ask my staff that, like, you know, if you could only tell me one thing about this team that is really important for us to know that we need to work on this week, what would it be? And if we can narrow that down and then we get clarity of purpose on how to move forward to implement those things, I think you'd see much greater impact from that than actually just covering everything off.
Here's one for me that's underrated, and that is ball control. And that's, you know, underneath ball control is just like passing, ball handling, turnovers. I don't think this is valued enough. I don't think it's worked on enough. The value of being a good ball control team that values the ball and limits turnovers so that you can get shots on goal. Thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I agree and disagree. I agree because it comes down to just number of possessions. I think even when you talked about passing a second ago, I agree because I think it's really underrated that great passing teams lead to great shooting teams. You know, I think that's really important. And I wouldn't say that I disagree, but here's the other point that I think is important about that is I don't know if anybody's mastered a way to teach ball control. And so I think this can be overtaught too. You know what I mean? Like, I think teams can get to a place of playing from fear because they don't want to turn it over because coach puts such an emphasis on it. It's all that they talk about. So now you're missing opportunities because, you know, you're so afraid to throw that backdoor pass. You're so afraid to make a certain type of play. And so I just think it's an interesting one. I think you're right that it's underrated, that ball control and passing and those skills are super, super important. I think that it could be just a bad situation if you go all in on it, but you really don't have a really good system or way of teaching it, because I think how you teach ball control is super, super important, because they're like, you know, a big part of ball control, like you talked about the skill part of it. I think we could all teach better passing, better cutting, better screening. Like, we can all do that. And I think those are important things to do. The one that's hardest to me in ball control is the whole reads one. You know, I think when you get to that place of why do most turnovers happen, why do things go bad, I think it has a lot to do with decision-making and making reads. And so that's the one where you got to have a good system for teaching reads, because I think it plays such a big part in actually turning the ball over or keeping the ball.
Yeah, and one little nugget there is to discover what – decisions happen the most in your offense and make sure you're in decisions/reads what happens the most, and then rep it out in your practices so that, you know, that's what you're best at, because that'll improve decision making, that'll improve ball control, limit turnovers, especially at younger levels, like I would say high school and down. I think that's critical.
You know, I got one that I think is really underrated. Interesting as to why it may be underrated, because I think similar to ball control, it's not always the easiest one to teach, but rebounding is really underrated. You know, one of our friends we've had on here a few times is having another great year up at Randolph Macon. I think the three factors that, you know, they won like 95% of their games, if they won the field goal percentage difference, if they won the rebounding and the turnovers. Are those the three, Sam? Correct? Yeah. So those three things right there. I would go even further to say that, like, I think there's a really high chance we're going to win the game if we win the rebounding. Now, for us this year, rebounding has been tough. Like, we lost our post players, and I would be happy to just break even in the rebounding. I would even be happy just to lose it by two or three. I think that's a good place for our team. Now, I'm also realistic that if we're going to lose the rebounding by two or three, or we're just going to be close, we have to put an emphasis on the other two, ball control, which you talked about. Because if we turn it over, we had a game not recently where we lost the rebounding by eight, but we won the turnover by 12. Well, that's four plus possessions for us. And then we were better in the field goal percentage. So we're going to win that game. But I would say that in rebounding, man, if you win the glass, there's just a really high chance that you're going to win the game. I think that stat plays out so many times. And I think one of the reasons that it's underrated is because it directly correlates to winning. But I think it's also sometimes one of those really difficult ones. You know, as long as I've been coaching 20 years, people ask for rebounding drills all the time. And, you know, I think we have some good rebounding drills, but I also sometimes question, you know, like, do those actually translate? Do those actually lead to it? Like, I think that player accountability, when we practice understanding how important their role as a rebounder is, teaching it through games, all that kind of stuff, I think is really, really important. But the rebounding factor is going to have a direct impact on whether you win or lose. And I don't know if we put enough emphasis on it.
I agree with that. Rebounding is critical. You know, Pat Summitt said, TJ, that offense sells tickets, defense wins games, and rebounding wins championships. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. And that was, you know, that's 20, 30 years ago that she said that. But I still think it holds true. To your point, when you have a bigger team, you probably don't need to spend a ton of time. Like, if you walk out on the court 6'10", 6'9", 6'8", on your front line, and they're athletic, long, and good rebounding instincts, do you need to spend a lot of time on rebounding? Probably not. But you need to have a system in place. What's your offensive rebounding coverage? What is your approach on defensive rebounding? And then if you're undersized like you, I like what you brought up, because I'm going through that with the team I'm coaching right now, where we're just really undersized. So that's not a strength of ours. But then where can we put our emphasis on practice? And that is when the turnover margin, that, you know, because we're going to force turnovers and we got to take care of the ball, and we're going to make up some ground in that area. But I do think rebounding, I went through a period where I was like, you know, it became popular not to do rebounding drills. And the popular thing in coaching was just make it an emphasis within your practice. Well, I've come back around, like, no, we actually do rebounding drills, and because we've got to build the habits. And that's where I land currently. We may have this conversation 5 years from now and I have something different, but right now I wholeheartedly believe rebounding is really important, and at least having a philosophy on it at the bare minimum.
Yeah. Here's another one that I think is underrated. I also understand the argument for overrated sometimes on this is special teams. You know, when I think about inbounds underneath, I think about side out of bounds, you know, maybe coming out of timeouts, you know, all of those things. I think it's really underrated, and I think it's super important, like specifically for like a team I have now, we're going to play a lot of close games. And I feel like we can try and get some separation in there. I also understand a team that says, you know what, man, special teams takes a lot of time to be good at. We're just going to get the ball in safe every time and not give you layups on yours. And we're just going to put our time and energy to somewhere else. So I understand that decision as well. I actually think it should be one of those two decisions. Like, we are clearly deciding to be better at you in special teams, or we're not going to spend a lot of time here. We're just going to protect the rim and we're going to get the ball in safely, you know, offense and defense, vice versa. I think that the worst decision to make is just to kind of be average in that area. You know, like, we'll put a little time to it versus, you know, maybe not so much. I would choose one or the other. Choose to be great in special teams, or choose to not put a lot of time there and just hold up on special teams. But I think it is underrated from the standpoint of, it's a really good time to put your team in a good position or put the other team in a bad position. You know, it's a spot throw in for them. You know, they've got to run certain things to get the ball in. You can put pressure on the ball. You could possibly turn them over in those situations. I think offensively, it's a place to get your best player the ball in the right spot, or to get a good shooter the spot, or to get a post-up isolation or whatever. And so, you know, if that happens out of timeouts, happens 6 to 10 times a game, and inbounds underneath happens, you know, 4 to 5 on offense, 4 to 5 on defense, right? There's 20 possessions you can put your team in a good spot. And I think 20 possessions is a lot of possessions to be able to put your team in a good spot. And so I think utilizing that and really trying to be dominant and be really good in that, I think is underrated. I think it's kind of like an afterthought. After we get our offense right, after we get our defense right, after we get our chemistry right, after we we'll do some special teams. But I really think over the course of the game, those little things do add up, especially if you have a team that's going to play a lot of close games. So that's for that reason, I say it's underrated.
I agree. I would say I spend a lot of time on this one because, and I feel like teams I'm coaching, we're plus 10, plus 12 a game just on like side out of bounds and baseline out of bounds stuff. On top of it, here's one that I know for a fact, you know, because I spent a lot of time coaching it, and I feel like we're not nearly as good as I want us to be, but free throw, box out, special situations, like how many times a game when you need that rebound, and I'm watching college basketball, high school, middle school, all of it, so many big rebounds are given up on free throw situations when you need a rebound. Does that come up a lot for you right now in the college game?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, it's interesting because I think there's teams that work on that, like rebounding misses and being aggressive there. And I think there's teams that don't spend a lot of time of it. And it's an interesting one because we don't spend a lot of time on the offensive end of rebounding the ball. One of the main reasons is we're a good free throw shooting team. And so, you know, when you're shooting 75% as a team, you know, there's a limited number of second ones that are missed. So only 25% are missed total. And then a smaller percentage are missed on the other end. And we're small, so we don't spend a lot of time on that. But we do spend time on not letting the other team get it because we are small.
And that's I'm referring to is the defensive free throw. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think it goes that way. And it will come up for you a couple times a year. I do think it is something that will happen and will affect the game for sure.
Yeah. So as we wind down, what's the last one or two underrated or overrated for you?
You know, I think underrated, overrated is this. Underrated is your practice preparation. Overrated is your game adjustments. I think that when I feel really good as a coach is when we're prepared going into a game. When I feel like when we're in trouble is when I'm having to adjust a ton of stuff in games, right? And so, like, I think just your preparation going into a game, clarity of mission for your team, clarity of mission on things that might come up for you as a coach, like going into a game, knowing you've done your homework, you're ready to go and your team are prepared is a great, great feeling. You know, going into a game and feeling like you're going to have to work magic in the game, that's a really bad feeling. And so I think underrated is just the preparation of getting your team ready. I've got another one. I think underrated is player development throughout the year. You know, like if players are only working on getting better in the preseason and in the summer, like I don't think that's enough. Like I think you want to continue to raise yourself. I think player development throughout the year is underrated. I think it's done wonders for us in our program. And I think players like it. I think players like getting better. I think their belief continues to grow in themselves. Therefore, it grows in the team. So, I that's one that really sticks out to me is like just developing better players all year round. Even if it's not for this year, it's for the next year. You'll be glad you did. But I think it actually pays off in the immediate as well.
I'm glad we didn't get off this without the player development reference. Couldn't agree more. You know, staying sharp with your players, making sure they're getting a lot of individual development throughout the year. Your offense is going to be better. Like you said, the players will feel better. Don't just bank on them doing it on their own. And sure enough, TJ, like if you're an NBA coach, like that's a different, we're almost talking two different basketball worlds. I mean, there's so many, but I would say even at that level, they're doing a lot of individual workouts outside. Now that's their full-time job. And, you know, other coaches at other levels, you don't have the luxury of that. And then I would say overrated are pregame speeches and underrated are pregame preparation. Yeah. Overrated pregame speeches, underrated, did you do the prep? Like if we have to have some big motivational talk every game, it doesn't mean you come in like a robot and you're like monotone, but you know, have some passion, but it's like we sometimes overemphasize this pregame talk or motivational talk to our teams.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. I think you worded that right too. You know, some other quick hitters I'm underrated. I think shooting is underrated. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen a team that shoots too much in practice. I've seen a lot of teams that don't shoot enough, like getting up shots. I mean, at the end of the day, ball's got to go in. And if I could take that one step further, is creating game-like reps in your shooting. You know, like, are they getting those on a regular and daily basis? I think the teaching of decision-making and reads is underrated. Like, I've also not seen a team work on that too much, of trying to make better reads for your team, coming down to making those decisions. I think that's, you know, really, really important. So I think those two are some that didn't want to get off the call. I think that, that those are super important. I know we're limited in time as we have for coaches in practice, but I've never seen working on reads or working on shooting be a bad investment of time. Communication can be overrated, underrated, right? I mean, like, poor communication, like not doing it the right way, just waste of words, blah, 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 blah. I think that can be overrated. Really good communication where teams help each other because they communicate well, I think that's underrated. I think that's a really big one. Gosh, I could keep going, man. I got so many of these that I think that, like, I think pizza and bowling is really overrated for building a culture. I think having deep, meaningful talks is really underrated for building a culture. You know, I think, man, there's so many different things that go into building the team that last one I'll say this for coaches is, like, really feeling the heartbeat of your team, knowing your team, being an expert on your team, like we've talked about. So, like, both on the court and off the court, like, really feeling the pulse of your team is way underrated. Like, the coaches that are really special to me know what their team needs. Right. And the coach that just does what they do every single day, because that's what they do. Like, I think they're missing. Like, I think they're not helping their team as much as they can. So I think that's really important. Yeah, I don't know. We'll stop there because we got a ton of them. But, you know, I think, Sam, you and I could go on forever about this. And I really think it's important. Like, coaches have a limited amount of time. Like, you've got to put priorities on what's most important to you, you know, and it would be a good practice for coaches. Here's my challenge for you. Like, what do you value the most in order? And are you spending the time, most amount of time on that? And maybe even evaluating, like, am I valuing the right things? Like, is this the most important thing? You know, is this the thing that we should be spending the most time on? Because there's a good chance you could be spending some time on some things that are overrated and not enough time on some things that are underrated. But it's a good process, or good maybe evaluation to go through within your own program. So, Sam, thanks for having this conversation here. Coaches, love to hear what you think. Hit us up at Hardwood_hustle. And what do you think, some things that are overrated? What are some things that are underrated in coaching? Things that can help your team. Hey, he is Sam. I am TJ. We are the Hardwood Hustle.
Thanks again for tuning into this episode of the Hardwood Hustle, where we believe in the value of a coach. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Hardwood_hustle to stay up to date on the latest episodes and share your thoughts with our coaching community. From the Hardwood Hustle team, thanks again. We can't wait to be with you again next week.